I encourage you now to open your copies of God's Word in Matthew chapter 5. We've been here in the Beatitudes for 8 weeks. Lord willing, next week will be the final one until we springboard outwards into the further teachings of Jesus. In this sermon, I'll be asking three questions to myself as I grapple with God's Word, which you may do well to ask yourselves the same question. One, who are the peacemakers? And two, how does the peacemaker become the peacemaker? Three, why does Jesus say that peacemakers shall be called sons of God? That's how I'm looking at this passage and trying to understand what the Lord Jesus has said for all time. Listen now to the Word of God in Matthew 5, verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you will allow understanding, illumination to us, that we may come as your sons to understand a little bit more what it means to be the peacemakers. Because Jesus, you said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." My Lord, teach us now, as your servants are now listening, and be to your greater glory. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Something inevitable happens the more you age. The more you age, the more you look like your father. You may think it's not happening to you. You may say it's not happening to me. But I have to admit, it's definitely happening to me. I find some mannerisms are just inside me, like I'm born with his DNA, I guess, or a version of it, that slowly through the years manifests itself. Other characteristics that have been developed are those that my father taught me or he passed on to me, which I then have adopted throughout the years. And due to the fact I have inherited some traits from my father and they have been sitting in my life somewhat dormant since birth, they're now starting to manifest by the way that I conduct myself. Many who knew my father called me the son of my father. I am son of Carlos. I look so much like him and act like him. My family jokes about it. You don't always want to turn out like your dad, but it does happen, and not to all, but many do turn out to look like their father. Some people would say, "My son looks like me." And I have some sad news for that boy, because sure, he may think he looks nothing like me now, but give it 20 years and it will be inescapable. I think this is also the way it is with us and our Heavenly Father. There is a resemblance of God early in our life with him, and it takes time living as his son to look more like him. You may now think you look nothing like your Heavenly Father, but give it 20 years with him and it is inescapable. This resemblance of children, it also transcends the sexes. Some would even say that they can see myself in my girls. It's not the masculine side necessarily, but something similar to my likeness. My image comes out from them. And others would say that the mannerisms, the behavior, they conduct themselves like their father Wally. So I'm just breeding a bunch of Wallys. This is the wonderful grace of God. Can you see? It doesn't depend on our sex, does it? Male or female can come to look like our Heavenly Father. And this is a truth for all kingdom people. We may not know or have seen the appearance of God, what God looks like, but we can know what He is like, His manner of being, His behavior among His creatures and His creation, and how God conducts Himself. Kingdom people learn what God is like, and because they have been born again into His family, the family of God, the qualities of God have then been impressed upon our hearts, upon our spirit, that slowly living with God begins to manifest more and more. And God transforms us more and more into looking like Him and living like Him in a manner, behavior, and conduct to such a degree. God does that work in you and me to such a degree that Jesus says, these people shall be called the sons of God. Jesus says people in the kingdom of heaven undergo such a radical change. However, it's progressive and it's ongoing. It will take our lifetime before we may finally be seen in the presence of God and then be called Son of God. Even though I don't look exactly like my Heavenly Father now, I am still called a Son of God. Hear now the word of God. Jesus says in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Jesus says that those who are blessed, the fortunate ones, the ones that God has turned His countenance upon, who have found favor in the sight of God, are those who shall be called sons of God. Jesus has been, in this passage for us, in the Beatitudes, been describing the characteristics of kingdom people. Now, Jesus says, those who shall be called sons of God are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Notice what Jesus does not say. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. But blessed are the peacemakers. Now, what Jesus means is not necessarily about becoming political activists. He gathering a posse amongst themselves and then going out and protesting against governments. But he does mean kingdom people will conduct their lives seeking peace rather than conflict. The peacemaker is someone who seeks for peace. Jesus doesn't mean blessed are the peaceable either. Sometimes we think he does, but he doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean blessed are the easygoing. He doesn't mean blessed are the good-natured, the mild-mannered. That's not what Jesus is getting at. Jesus is saying kingdom people are actively engaged within the sphere of influence in ending disputes, calming tensions, resolving hostility, reconciling enemies and building peaceful relationships. Goodness me, can there be a better time for the message of Jesus than our current time? Like, Jesus is calling His kingdom people, well, primarily He's describing His kingdom people as peacemakers. And in the fact of describing His people as peacemakers, and you thinking you're in the kingdom of God, and you consider yourself a peacemaker, and if you're not, then you strive to be a peacemaker. What greater message can we know or hear about in this present time with the war in Israel? Multiple wars. There's fighting in Jerusalem. The battle between the races and culture, Israel versus Hamas. The animus and the hostility I know it's happening over there, but it's even spread to this very country. The civil unrest. I hope that you're keeping abreast of what's going on and watching the news. The political and civil unrest in Melbourne. Can you believe it? In Sydney, are you watching it? The protesting now in WA in Perth is saying every Saturday now Palestinians are going to come and protest. And it's usually, and we've got Australians that have no immediate connection, some, no immediate connection to the Jew or the Palestinian. And sometimes without even any knowledge. They're supporting violence, some supporting violence, condoning or even antagonizing aggression. And so in the midst of conflict, even in Jesus' own time, when Jew versus the Gentile was pretty much the game of the nation, of the town, of the time, and in the midst of conflict, Jesus goes out and gives a sermon that also almost like a warning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Beloved, this is the time for kingdom people to be peacemakers. Now I need to make a clarification, because I am not, even for an instant, saying that Israel of our time right now has no right to defend itself or its sovereignty. I'm not saying that, nor am I excusing the death of civilians as sometimes they say, necessary collateral. I am preaching to you what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I have to interject here, because I get emails every so often and they're full of wit and I love them. What if you are, this is from an email, the opposite of this? Read it in your Bibles now in an opposite way. The best I've heard so far is, cursed are the trigger-happy warmongers, for they shall be called what? What's the opposite? Son of God. Sons of the devil. Where are we today, beloved? We need to be peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The opposite is, well, you said it yourself, the son of the devil. So who are these peacemakers? We need to start exploring this. In this chaotic world of rising violence and building tensions and hostility, kingdom people are those within their sphere of influence, they're the ones that knock down walls of hostility. They purposely engage with promoting reconciliatory relationships by the message that they preach. A peacemaker is not, let me give you some nods, a peacemaker is not someone who sweeps problems underneath the carpet. That's not a peacemaker, nor the one who lets bygones be bygones, who lets sleeping dogs lie, who sees injustice and just brushes it over with platitudes. Kingdom people do not wave off opinions either. We don't do that. That's not a peacemaker. That's your opinion. Peacemakers do not reduce complex problems into simple cliches. Can't we just shake hands and get along? Peacemakers are not ignorant of the hurt and the loss of life. Peacemakers are not apathetic to the despair. Peacemakers do not take the side of evil either. Peacemakers are the balm. They're the balm in times of abrasion. Peacemakers bring reason to opinions. Peacemakers understand the complexities of life. Peacemakers, they're empathetic to suffering and loss. You know what? Peacemakers always love good, and they try and promote righteous living. So a peacemaker works to pacify what makes for enemies and promotes the remedy that makes for reconciliation and friendship. Peacemakers will endeavor to restore hostile relationships. Peacemakers love peace and work to establish peace. Peacemakers do not cross their fingers and then just wish for peace. That's not what Jesus is getting at. A peacemaker, it is a person that reasons and thinks through what causes hostility, and then they work to eliminate that. They eliminate aggression, and not by repaying evil with evil, but smothering evil with good. Therefore, a peacemaker does not avoid war or affliction or suffering in conflict or confrontation. But the peacemaker, they enter the fray of such instances to restore peace. So if you want to be called a son of God, if you desire to be called the blessed, Jesus says it is the peacemakers who are the blessed, because they shall be called the sons of God. And so I ask you, and I ask myself, and ask us as a church, what role do we play? What role are we playing in the sphere of our influence? Role play now in your mind. Where are you in that? Are we those who antagonize, adding fuel to the fire? Or are we those who listen with careful attention? We listen to people without interrupting what they have to say. We listen to people and their opinions. Careful attention, hearing the hurt, suffering of hostility, and then we formulate responses of reconciliation, of peace, with empathetic words. You want to be a peacemaker? Well, how does the peacemaker become the peacemaker? Peace, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Jesus is preaching about kingdom people here now in this section of the Bible. Jesus is saying these are the people within the kingdom. They look like this. These peacemakers, Jesus says, are those who have responded to his call and are those that are to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he said in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is about kingdom people. These are the people that have come to Jesus Christ in repentance and are being drawn into his kingdom as his own, and those that will partake in the kingdom of heaven. One becomes a peacemaker by first finding peace. A peacemaker is one that can acknowledge their own poverty in spirit. And they know everyone in this whole universe, in this world, has a need to find some kind of fulfillment in their heart, in their soul. Because you know what? They've got it. They need. They're poor in spirit. The spirit is spiritually bankrupt, and so is everybody else. And so a peacemaker is someone who mourns at that brokenness inside, the sin that causes animosity, who then is humbled and meek at the confrontation of sin. She's humbled to admit sin. But it also seeks reconciliation, you see. They acknowledge it. I'm like this, broken. I need to be filled. Everyone needs to be filled. And the reason you're not filled and lack relationship is because of sin. So you mourn because of sin, and the sin within, the sin without. And yet you are humbled because, well, you are just like everybody else. But in that state, you seek reconciliation, goodness, righteousness. You then hunger and thirst for it. And the one that hungers and thirsts for it is the person that needs mercy. I need it. And because you need mercy, you shall be given mercy. If you receive mercy, you are one who dispenses mercy freely. A peacemaker gives mercy. One becomes a peacemaker when peace is found in their soul, in their heart. A peacemaker is one who has purity of heart. It is only the pure in heart who single-mindedly follow the will of God who then can be truly say, I seek the peace of God as a peacemaker. You see, a person may strive to be a peacemaker, but no man can make his heart pure enough to love peace. You might think and reason that you need peace, but to have it here and love it takes a certain person, someone that has the God of peace inside. Otherwise, then every human being in this world will just reason towards peace. And how's that gone for humanity lately? Thus, peacemaker makes peace not because it's their duty, the true peacemaker, although it is, but because they love peace. Their hearts are purely set on a peace that's within, that can only come from God. God, who is our God of peace. This is why Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Because peacemakers are those who look like God, who act like God, display his manner of being and behavior and conduct. You see, because our God, the God of the Bible, is known as the God of peace. He's the God of reconciliation. But the God of the Bible is also a God of war. Listen to what our God of peace wars against, that you may war against the same thing. Romans 16:20, the Apostle Paul says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. See what God fights and he wars against? Make sure you have the same enemy in your crosshairs. And it's not your neighbor. He crushes Satan. And thus brings his grace to us. Our God of peace also sanctifies those he preserves to the very end. First Thessalonians 5:23. Listen to the God of peace. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, with the God of peace crushing Satan, his enemy, and your enemy, by the way, beloved, then that means that you have no more enemies. Well, your prime enemy is crushed. You can be a peacemaker because your greatest enemy has been conquered by the God of peace. So why do we create hostile environments with one another, I ask? When you get in a hostile situation, no matter what the topic is and circumstance, ask the question, who really is your enemy if Satan has been crushed by God for you? And if the God of peace says he will sanctify you completely, did you hear that? Whole spirit, soul, and body. He's got you covered. Why do you concern yourself with others? What can trouble you if you have been promised to be complete? And God has said in his very word, our God of peace is doing that in your life. You are promised to be preserved and to be complete. You see, it is only those who have the God of peace working in them who can truly be without an enemy and content within themselves that can offer peace as peacemakers. We offer what the God of peace has done and he's doing in our lives to those who are still living in hostility. The peacemaker can offer peace because of what God has done in their life and he's doing in their life. And then they know what peace is like. They're in peace. You can become a peacemaker. I know this sermon of Jesus, we sometimes don't feel God's presence. We can look at Jesus and speak, and he actually makes us feel the opposite. This is the kingdom people. When we go, great, what do they look like? And we think, I don't look anything like that. And sometimes the cares of this world can overwhelm us. How can we grab or receive of the peace of God? How can we refresh our lives for it? Listen now to how Paul tells us we can have the peace of God as those living in the kingdom of God. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, if you don't feel the peace of God, put everything in prayer and you will receive the peace of God. So you know what peacemakers then need? Tell me what peacemakers need. They need prayer. And if they are to be refreshed by the peace of God, pray about your insecurities, beloved. Providence, outline them now in your head. You know how that would take me about 4 hours of my insecurities. I'll be here for a while. Give them all to the Lord. And you know what he promises to give in return? His peace. Pray about your insecurities to the God of peace, that you shall receive the peace of God. Sometimes, you know what it is? We don't even feel God. Sometimes we don't feel the presence of the God of peace. And you want to know why, how, what's going on? How do I, as a peacemaker, then feel his very presence? I want the God of peace to be with me. Listen to how Paul continues that in Philippians 4. Listen to this. Finally, brothers, listen, Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, in Paul, in what is written, practice these things. Now the cause, and the God of peace will be with you. It is striking how clearly the Bible instructs us to seek the peace of God in order to obtain it. And how often do we live, I don't know if you're like this, but how often do we live merely just expecting God just to zap me with his, just waiting for the peak, just, and the Bible is replete of you doing something in him. Have insecurities, pray, and you'll have his peace. I don't feel God's presence. I don't feel the God of peace. Then talk like this, think like this, live like this, practice this, and he will be with you, and the God of peace will be with you. But also to practice certain behaviors and for the God of peace to be with us is to then reflect who he is. So I say to you, don't chase one over the other. Beloved, chase after not only the peace of God, but also the God of peace. Can you see now, you cannot become a peacemaker unless the God of peace is in your life. That God has defeated all your enemies, or your greatest one at the very least, which is the very most. You can't be a peacemaker unless God is working in your life. He's sanctifying you and preserving you. You can't be a peacemaker unless the God of peace is, as it says, keeping you blameless. Unless you are praying for the peace of God. Unless you are practicing certain behaviors to be with the God of peace. In fact, if you want to know as a peacemaker in the church or even in the world, what are my boundaries? How do I engage the hostility of the world as a peacemaker of God, as a son of God? Why not use Philippians 4:8 as your boundary? Listen to it again. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, lovely, commendable, excellence, worthy of praise. Use that in your head. Think about that. And then what you've learned, received, and heard, and seen. Practice these things. I hope I'm not sounding like I'm telling you to suck eggs, but don't you think that's how God would work? Think about holy things and practice holy things. And you have the God of peace with you. So God makes peace, and to those who bring his peace, look and behave just like him. Just like a son looks like his father, just like I look like my father, so do the sons of God look like God. You know, humanity was created to look like God in God's likeness. But more so than just mere images, every human, woman and man, were made in the image of God. You see, humanity was created to also reflect the character of God. So peacemakers reflect the character of God, look like God. They shall be called sons of God because they show the character of God to the watching world. We haven't got there yet, but Jesus will begin to call God our Heavenly Father. It's so common to us, we think Jesus already began with that. No, he hasn't begun with that. He's called us sons of God. But very soon, he's going to call God our Father. And so kingdom people must show the Heavenly Father. Pretty soon, we're going to be hearing Jesus say this in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So we as children of God, those whom have responded by faith in Jesus in repentance, of renouncing sin, the world and all it offers of fleeting pleasures in sin, those of us who look like our Heavenly Father, behaving and practicing, living like our Father in heaven, and we're the ones that will be called sons of God. And we are sons of God. And as sons of God, we shall bring the peace of the God of peace. You see, I think that's the gig. God brings peace in your life, and He says, I'm your heavenly Father. Like Father, like Son, I built you to reflect me. Now go out, reflect me. And if I am the God of peace, what are you going to reflect? Peace. Go. You. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So it's radical, isn't it? Because Jesus, when you start thinking about this, and while He goes on about how God has already destroyed our greatest enemy, you can almost start hearing Jesus' future sermon. Jesus in the future, which we'll see probably in about 10 years' time, but in Matthew 5:43, listen to how Jesus speaks, and it's so radical. You've heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Causal, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. That is radical, because it says, if you love your enemies, those who persecute you, you may be sons of your Father. You may become. How do I become? I'm a peacemaker. It's radical. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Kingdom people are, as peacemakers, you know what we're doing? We're in the process of this life proving to the watching world that we are sons of God. We love peace. We need to sow it. We grow it. We harvest it. The harvest that we give in our righteous living, James says, is righteousness. Listen to what he says. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. See what he's saying? He says that peace produces wise living. And something also really radical. He's saying that when we sow peace that is first planted by God in our hearts, that also produces righteousness, godly conduct. You see, to be a peacemaker is to overcome animosity and hostility with the love of God that reconciles. It breaks the barriers of hostility by building bonds of love. I wonder if you know that in your souls, if you have God coursing through your very body, that the fruit of the Spirit is also full of peace. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. To produce peace, we must know what it is. To be a peacemaker, we must have peace in our souls and our hearts. You cannot make peace outside of your soul if you do not have peace inside. So I ask you and implore you, Providence, we as a church, beloved, please sort out your personal wars first before you attempt to make peace in the public arena. Do you hear Jesus there at all by me just saying that? Something like a log in your eye first before the speck in your brother's eye? Be peace. Be a peacemaker. Me, you. Peace. The world offers and asks and tells us we can have it all. How many times have you heard if you have enough therapy, psychologists, psychiatrists, enough meds, sometimes psychedelic drugs are now becoming a fad. But the peace that mends the heart can only be found in the uncontested Christ, the peace Christ delivers to the Spirit. You may have, even today, sought to get peace from the world, but the world only offers something that they can give you here and nothing that can happen inside. And Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You see, the peace of the world, it can't solve your inner person. But you're trying to make it do that. And Jesus said, His peace is not like the world's peace. A peace that calms the troubles of the heart, the soul. How many of us have tried and tested the world, but rather than peace, we end up in war. I'm not sure if you're a TikToker. I'm not a TikToker. Twitter. I don't know, is Facebook still a thing? But have you seen the increasing numbers of videos of students publishing the fights in their school and teachers fighting students with teachers? And it gets worse, parents screaming at sporting matches, bashing the referee. Police officers being assaulted, especially in London, who carry no guns. Well, most of them carry no guns. And then the wars and the animosity, Russia and Ukraine, Hamas against Israel, Israel against Hamas. It's a war like Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem and they fight about it. Civil unrest in Melbourne. Palestinian, Aussie Palestinians yelling at Aussie Jewish people. The world is broken. The world cannot fix our drama because it's a heart problem. The world can't bring peace because how's it looking so far for us? If we rely on the things of the world, we're not going to find the peace. It's certainly not the peace that transcends time and our bodies and comes within. Only Christ can give us that. John 16:33, listen to what Jesus says. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the hostility of the world by dying to it, by paying by his life, by the bloodshed, the cost of sin, and then by his resurrection, eradicating death and hostility. Jesus says that you too can have peace. Have a peace that is greater than what the world offers, a peace in your soul, if you come into his own sphere, into his reign and rule and his kingdom, because there will be eternal peace. Jesus then is the true peacemaker, the exemplar of peace. For the Bible has been projecting and prophesying and showing us a time that this Jesus would come. In Micah 5:2, it says that he would come from Bethlehem. From you shall come forth for me, says God, who is to be ruler in Israel. See what the Bible is saying? God, as the God of peace, says, I will send someone for me. Then in Micah 5:4, listen to what the projection and the prophecy was. And he, that's the anointed one, shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. God, the God of peace, sends his anointed one who shall then be his peace. It was also spoken in Isaiah 9. Listen to this. 9:6, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He shall be called Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. This is our hope, beloved. Our hope is that Jesus has come as the Prince of Peace, but this total peace is yet to be complete, and we will still wait for the return of the Prince with his peace, and in his presence there will be no end. This was given to a people that are in violence and hostility. God is the God of peace who sends his Prince of Peace. And he's come to bring peace to us who are enemies. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the mediator who makes peace between God and his enemies. And we were all once his enemies. Can you see now why Jesus says that we are to love our enemies? Because that's what we were once with God, until Jesus extinguished his wrath and our hostility. You see, Jesus has come to reconcile all things, whether in heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. That's the point of Easter. The Son of God has brought peace to hostility by what he did, his life, his everything we know in history is to bring peace. And to those who believe, that have this peace and are given life, they've also given a charge. Listen to you who think you have God's peace, what you are to do with it. John 20:21, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So now we are now sent out to show this peace, you see, to be the peacemakers of this world, heralding the peace of God that is made through his Son. We exemplify through whatever sphere of influence you live in, you are the peacemaker, showing God's peace through his Son. I must, however, warn you against placing too much peace on earth. The Bible tells us that this world will be riddled with tribulation. It is a dog-eat-dog world. However, true and lasting peace won't come until our resurrected Jesus, our King, returns. I wonder if you know this, but when John saw the new heavens and the new earth, which is the promise of God of a future existence with him in his very presence, when John saw heaven and earth unite, it says that John saw a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven to the earth and joining itself with earth. We long to reign with Jesus in this new Jerusalem. And sometimes we forget, or we may not even know. Do you know the meaning of the word Jerusalem? You see, Jerusalem means city of peace. So when John is looking up and he's prophesying of a future Jerusalem, he's not necessarily thinking the Jerusalem, but the city of peace, finally coming to earth. And what John finally sees, and what we shall all see, in our resurrected bodies, with our resurrected King Jesus, is a life of the God of peace, reigning through the Prince of Peace, through us existing in that city of peace. Beloved, we are peacemakers of today, but we shall always be peacemakers. I want you to know before we leave that the context of this passage is Jesus saying that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. But Romans 8:14 also tells us that for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, which means those who live by the will of God are already sons of God. But if you are a peacemaker harvesting the peace of God from your pure heart out into the world, you shall also be called a son of God. And so Jesus said, kingdom people are blessed, for it is they whom Jesus speaks when he says, blessed are the peacekeepers, peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your work in us. I thank you for your peace. Jesus, you as the Prince of Peace, continue your work of peace in our hearts. Spirit, move us so that we may learn the wonderful charge of being sent out into the world to be the peacemakers, and so that we may also one day be called sons of God. And rejoice that even today we are your sons, O God. In your name I pray. Amen.